Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know every month we have our good friend Than Bennett on the show for what we've called a faith perspective from the Hill. Well, Than doesn't work on the Hill anymore, but he keeps his finger on the pulse of what's going in the top news headlines, and he's moved into full-time ministry. We've talked about that plenty over the last several months, and he also now has a show on the Faith Radio lineup, and you can find it in our programming, but he airs on Saturday, called the Equipped, which matches the name of his newsletter. If you want to or you want to subscribe, you can do that, and we'll put that link in the show notes as well. And my producer, Angela, just informed me we've got giveaways today. Than's written a couple of really great books. One I endorsed, the other one I received. It's how I met Than, as I interviewed him on. The first one, In Search of the King, Turning Your Desire for Meaning into the Discovery of God. Mark Batterson wrote the foreword for that book. Mark is his pastor. Then the one I endorsed that I love so much, I love them both, but it was so fun to get an early copy, My Fame, His Fame, Aiming Your Life and Influence Toward the Glory of God. And Mark Batterson also wrote the foreword for that one. So this is what I wrote about Than's book. This book made me want to stand up and shout, bow low and pray, and believe that God will make himself known in our day. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. He's so informed, so humble, has such a passion for Jesus. So you truly will be blessed if you want to enter to win. Text the word book, 877-933-2484. So some of the things we'll be touching on today are just some news headlines, and I'm going to ask your opinion. Again, we always want this to be civil dialogue, but I really just want your opinions as we talk about, like, for instance, in Colorado, Supreme Court removed former President Trump from the ballot. Love to know your thoughts on that, and I'll ask Than about that as well. We are going to spend a little bit of time praying today about the news headlines, and if you've got a prayer request, go on and send it in, and I'll do my best to weave it in. But we read every text, and just want this to be a time of not only discerning the times and knowing what to do, but really praying the news, you know, praying your stories. And you can turn on any dial and get angry news any time of the day, 24/7. And that kind of input, I'll just tell you, is not good for your soul. If you start to notice your inputs on news perspectives that are making you angry, suspicious, compelling you to paint people groups with broad brush strokes, you want to be really careful about that. The Word of God is our source, our plumb line. And I tell you, I'm deeply passionate about issues and the times. I have strong feelings about a lot of things, but I notice for my soul, I can only handle, you know, cable news for so long, because no matter what channel you're on, you got people assigning motives, acting in anger, being diminishing, and I want to discern the mind of the Lord. I want to understand the times and know what to do. So I'm praying we can model civil dialogue over some of these hot topic issues, and we all know these are polarizing times. We all have our opinions, and some have strong opinions, but can we hear from each other and learn from each other? And so I will ask your input, but I also am asking for humility and teachability, that we can together get the mind of the Lord. A quick announcement before we hear from Than. If you're traveling this year, we would love to have you take us with you. We're just assuming you want to take us with you. Go to the App Store and download the free Faith Radio app, and you can live stream the show from everywhere. In fact, I had stood corrected the other day how I always say that, you know, we're on this radio network, and then we've got, you know, people listening in 170 countries after the fact. Well, that's true. We do have people in that many countries listening, but some of you are listening live because of the app, from all over the world in different time zones. That's just amazing to me. If you're listening now from somewhere in the world that's not in the U.S., you got to text me and tell me. I would love to know. 877-933-2484. In fact, this is a whim, but I'm just going to do it. I'd love to know where you're listening from. no matter where you're listening from. Tell me, what's your city? Where are you listening? 877-933-2484. I'm kind of going rogue today. All right. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dan Bennett is the founder and president of Every Good Work, which exists to equip Jesus followers for a life of impact. Dan and his wife, Brooke, are co-founders of A Fearless Life. Listen to this mission, which works to find and fund a family for every adoption-eligible foster child in America. Wow. Dan has more than 20 years of high-level public policy experience with a particular focus on the U.S. Congress and the United Nations. He's the author of In Search of the King and My Fame, His Fame, and we've got giveaways today. He and Brooke live in Southern Maryland with their three children, as well as a host of farm animals. The Bennetts are longtime members of National Community Church in Washington, D.C. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Susie, it is always so good to be with you, and it was it was fun to hear you mention the first interview that we had together. That was back in early 2017 for In Search of the King. And I just want to tell you, so that's almost 7 years ago.
Wow.
And I never knew at that moment just what an important figure in my life and in our family's life you were going to be. I still remember that first interview. You were better prepared than anybody who I talked to about the book. It was clear that you had been through it. And so I just want to say to you, thank you for the beginning of that relationship. And you really mean the world to us.
Wow. Seven years. It takes a long time to make an old friend, they say. So, wow. And you are a precious friend. I just got to read these texts before I ask you what the Lord's telling you, because this is amazing. Joan is listening from Blaine. Carrie's listening from Ontario, Canada. Norm is listening from Oklahoma. Kathy from Atlantic City, New Jersey. My goodness. Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Also another South Dakota. We got the spirit. How about you? Text me where you're listening from. 877-933-2484. That's just sort of fun. So, Than, tell me this. What's God been speaking to you about these days?
Yeah, that is fun, Susie. I wanted to actually share with you for this segment just a one-line prayer that my wife, Brooke, actually prayed over our kids earlier this week. And I wrote about it in the True section of the Equipped newsletter this week. But it's really stuck with me over the last few days, and I just wanted to share it with your listeners. She prayed this. It was just one line. She prayed, God, thank you that we don't have to wander or wonder. And, you know, the wonder part or the wander part there, it made me think of the hymn, Come Thou Fount, you know, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And yeah. And Susie, here's what it made me think about. It made me think about the identity crisis in our world today. And so much of that identity crisis is because the world tells us that identity is something that we have to go look for, that we can search out, and that we can sort of acquire by our own efforts. And Susie, if we take that bait, I really do believe if we take that bait, it causes us to wander and to wonder, because when we believe that we've got to go out and find it, then we've got to wander to do it. And when we accept the idea that our identity is something that is subject to interpretation, right? Whether that's our interpretation or someone else's interpretation, then we're left wondering who we are. And so I came back to the central truth, and there's really sort of two parallel truths here, but true identity is not out there somewhere, Susie. It is safe within the shelter of our Creator's wings, and we don't have to wander. And then coupled with that, true identity is something that is not rooted in me, right? It is not something to be discovered. It is found wholly and completely within the identity of Jesus Christ. So I don't have to wonder who I am. And so the prayer might have been simple. It might have been short. Thank you that we don't have to wander or wonder. But it left me with these two truths that I just wanted to read out. The first one is, you don't have to wander anymore. You have already been found. And you don't have to wonder any longer, because you are, you have always been, and you will always be His.
Mm. Boy, that is amazing. So beautiful. I just asked Angela if she could pull up a clip. We just from earlier talked to Dr. AJ Swoboda about self-naming, and it just goes along with that. And if we can pull it up and find it, we're going to. Just because I think it's such a word in due season, that wandering and wondering, we don't have to wander and we don't have to wonder. absolutely amazing. If you don't mind, just because I want to give a shout out to these listeners, wow, I'm amazed at the text coming in. Dan, if you don't mind, I'm just going to rattle some of these off and then we'll dig in here. But Lisa from Fargo, Joyce from Cedar Falls, Iowa, Bonnie from Fargo, Jessica Duluth, another friend from Grand Forks, Lindsay from DeSoto, Texas, Catherine from Louisville, Kentucky, another friend from Port Orange, Florida, Shiloh listening from Centuria, Wisconsin, also a friend from Minnesota, Melissa from Kansas, middle of Kansas. That's amazing. Okay, I want to play this clip because it goes so in line with what you just said, and then I'll have you comment on it, and then we'll dig into some of the news headlines. Here we are.
Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel, what do they do it for? They do it to make a name for themselves. So what is that? That's a really interesting way of imagining the world. I reject the name you gave me, and I'm going to give my, I self-name. We're at a Babel moment where it is about self-naming. Nobody gets to name me but me. The next chapter, God comes to Abram, and he says, Abram, I'm going to take you to land. I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you a nation, family, kids, and I will make your name great. Mm. We will either self-name or receive our name from God. There are two narratives. And the narrative that says, I name myself, is it's the pathway to total self-hatred. Because I'm basically saying, I'm naming myself as I feel today. Well, what if I feel different tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Oh, the terror. The terror.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting too is what do you think of that, Dan? Wow.
That's so good, Susie. As I was listening to that, I had two thoughts. The first was Isaiah 43:1, and where it says that we don't have to fear because He has redeemed us and He has summoned us by name. And I can't quote the earlier part of the verse verbatim, but I know the last three words. The last three words are, "You are mine." We are not our own. We are a part of our Creator's. Our identity is wrapped up in His. And the other thing that ran through my head as I was listening to that clip is, this is something that for those of us who are parents, we have to be speaking it over our children, because this world is telling them something very different. And so when they venture out into that world and they are confronted with a message that is different than this, they need to have been spoken over, and they need to be constantly prayed over. And so, you know, the context and the premise with the story that I just told was my wife praying over our kids. And I'm so grateful for that blessing, for a wife that does that. And I just want to encourage parents out there, do this daily and do this out loud over them. It needs to be more than just something that is, you know, done in a prayer closet. They need to hear this. They need to seize hold of it, because it is going to be attacked, and they need to possess this as a core part of their identity.
Somebody got to text me an amen. I mean, our kids are grown and launched now, but I'm telling you, if my kids were young in this day and age, I would hold their face in my hands every day and say, listen to me, look at me. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God doesn't make mistakes. He does not make mistakes. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Angela, our amazing producer, pulled up the passage you were referencing, I think, Isaiah 43:1. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Amen. Mm. Amen. Wow. Really, really so good. All righty. When we come back, we're going to take a little, we decided to incorporate this little history lesson because Than is a history buff. So we're going to learn a little something about, I think it's James Madison today. Then we'll start to dig into some of these news headlines. It's so fun, friends, to have you text in and let me know where you're listening from. I don't know why. That was like a cup of coffee, and I had to give up coffee. So you can only imagine how sweet this is for me to see, you know, real time people in our network, outside our network. We're all a big, happy family. What a gift. More with Ann Bennett in just a moment. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. You know, I learned a valuable lesson while walking through one of the deep valleys of the shadow in my life. Our hearts can't live without hope, and we have reason for hope because Jesus is with us in every season of life. Using the word hope, As an acronym, I want to remind you of four very important truths when it comes to hope. That God is a healer. One way or another, He will heal and redeem your story. O is you are meant to overcome. P is you have a purpose and a calling. And E, God wants you to live with eternity in mind. If you're struggling to make it to the next moment, text the word HOPE to get a fresh dose of hope. We are here to help you and walk with you through this journey. You can text 877-933-2484. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. Every month we have our good friend Than Bennett on the show to get a faith perspective on the news items, the top news items of the day. But we're always weaving in prayer and faith perspective and just kind of following the Lord's lead. And I got to read this from Nancy. We have the most amazing listeners. She says, thank you, Suzy and Than, for coming alongside to help us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus during these tumultuous times. She says, I share your conviction that our God is in control of every single detail of human history. He raises kings and He brings them down. Politicians, listen, friends, will not save us, but Jesus already has. So we can walk confidently in that as long as we are committed disciples, looking and responding with His eyes and heart. We have these absolute fixed promises. Oh, this makes me want to get up and shout that He will bring us safely through. We are more than conquerors. Love you so much, dear ones. I do have to say, I got the Holy Spirit goosebumps as I'm reading that. That is profound and powerful. What do you say to Nancy's comment there?
Oh, I love it so much. We cannot be shaken, Suzy. I mean, the world is shaking. It says this all throughout the Old Testament, that the heavens and the earth are going to shake, but the people that God has set apart will not be moved if we are rooted in Him. So just affirm amen. And you know, I would maybe just also say this is part of the reason that I write the Equip newsletter, because we are going to have different perspectives. And I do think there is truth and untruth to be, you know, to be discerned in our current events. But at the same time, Suzy, we've got to be able to navigate them through an eternal lens. And here's one of the things I really am trying to help folks build, and this includes myself, the ability to discern the times through the lens of God's word, because we've got to be able to think critically through those issues. God gave us the faculties to do that. And if we're just constantly consuming what the world has to offer, guess what? We will be shaken. And God's word promises that we can stand firm. And so in order to do that, we've got to proceed with sound mind. So amen and amen.
Wow. So, so, so good. All right. So talk to me about James Madison.
Okay, you know, I love that we're doing this, Suzy. Last time we talked about George Washington. I want to talk about another Virginian founder today, James Madison. He's this really fascinating character, and Suzy, he probably deserves more credit for the separation of powers that's in our Constitution than anybody else. He played a leading role in the Constitutional Convention in 1787, and the very short history lesson there is that our country was barely a decade old, but it was already falling apart. It was falling apart because the Articles of Confederation that were pulling the states together, they just weren't strong enough to resolve the differences between the states. And so the convention had been called to sort of come up with a plan to fix that, but everybody had wildly different ideas. And so, long story very short, Madison came up with something that was called the Virginia Plan. And it was that plan that included the separation of powers and the three branches that our federal government is now based on. It ended up being enshrined in the Constitution. And Suzy, that document continues to be the most copied governing document in the whole world. Other nations continue to draw from it when they set up their structure. And so there's all sorts of things about that we could talk about, but I just want to mention one thing and two quotes from Madison. He very clearly at that time, Suzy, predicted the challenges that we are seeing today. And he predicted that they would flow from this human tendency, and especially this government tendency, to abuse power. And so I want to read you two quotes and just kind of leave you with the thought. The first one, he said this. He said, "The people are the only legitimate fountain of power, and it is from them that the constitutional charter, under which the several branches of government hold their power, is derived." Suzy, that idea, the idea that all governing power comes from the people, it is really, really being tested today. Now, I want people who are listening to sort of hold that intention with this next quote I'm going to read. The next quote from Madison says this: liberty may be endangered by the abuse of liberty, but also by the abuse of power. And Susie, I just think it's I think it's very instructive, and I would dare say maybe even prophetic, that Madison's driving goal was to limit government power. But even then, he knew even if we were able to limit government power, it was going to take people stewarding well the liberty that was afforded to them. And I equate it to Galatians. It says we're called to freedom, but we can't use freedom for the flesh. We have to use it to serve one another. So there's a lot you could say about James Madison, but I'll stop there. I think his voice continues to be prophetic in our country today.
That's amazing. You know what stands out to me too, Than, is that you know, our forefathers had an otherworldly wisdom that they were seeking God for it. I mean, that their wisdom was so they needed that wisdom because of the endeavor and just the historical implications of what they were stepping out to do in the founding of this country. And I just as you're talking, that thought occurred to me, and the very next thought occurred to me that, you know, there are believers in our day. There are millions of believers in our day who are seeking God, and we need our own kind of wisdom for our own kind of times, and God has promised to lavish it on those who ask for it and seek Him and walk in His way. Much like what Nancy had said, if we are His disciples and committed to Him, you know, these are different times than those times, but as you said, man is prone to wander. But if we can humble ourselves and pray, God will hear us, and He will give us the wisdom we need to navigate these times. There's never, ever a generation where you can say it's all is lost, because He's always had a remnant. Somehow, some way, He has. And if you love Jesus and you follow Him, you're part of that remnant. I'd love for you to speak to that.
Yeah, that's right on point. You know, one of the things that I just constantly take away from the lessons of our founders is that they had every opportunity to seize everything unto themselves. I mean, we talked about Washington last time. We talk about Madison this time. We were at a moment where they had full capacity to draft a government, to draft documents that acquired power unto themselves. And time again, Susie, they actually restrained themselves. They set up structures that restrained their own power. They led through service. And, you know, it's easy for me to then, you know, sort of point the finger at elected officials and say, well, I don't see that today. But that's really not the lesson to derive from this. The lesson to derive from this is that the people have the power. And Susie, if we have the power, we have to use that power to lead through service. If we lead through service, and if we lead lives of humility that are laid down for our neighbors, that is going to flow upstream to our elected officials. It doesn't work the other way. Our structure gives the people the power. And so I think the lesson to pull from these founders who were clearly appointed for the time in which they were living, and I believe you and I were appointed for the time in which we're living, the lesson is that we lead through service and through self-restraint, and that actually flows upstream to our governing officials.
Again, as you're talking, I'm thinking of Corrie Ten Boom, of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, of Sophie Scholl in Nazi Germany, how that none of them were trying to make a name for themselves or to become history makers. Just in the privacy of their lives, they had to live their convictions, and they became history makers, and they did shape history. I don't know that anybody who's, you know, greatly shaped history was going, I'm going to make a name for myself, because that just shows what feet of clay you have. But those who think, I'm swimming upstream, you know, yes, the current of the culture is going this way, but I have to do something different. That truly, to me, is where heroes are born, when you're listening to the Lord and doing something different, like what you did. I mean, you had a pretty high-profile job on the Hill, and you step away from a guaranteed income, and you decide to serve in a way that's very, very costly. But you're wanting to help families find and fund adoption-eligible foster kids, and among other things. But you're becoming a part of the solution. I mean, you're a history maker, Than. You and Brooke both are.
Well, that's kind of you to say, Susie. But I would tell you, it's just simply the cry of my heart, and I think it is the cry of so many believers' hearts to simply be caught up in a move of God. You know, I think a lot of us could probably accomplish great things in our own strength in the world's eyes. But Susie, that's really not a mission worth pursuing.
Exactly.
The mission worth pursuing is the one that is grander than ourselves, and the only way we get outside of ourselves and into the throes of what God has for us is to actually surrender what we have have and our abilities to him for him to amplify them. And so, you know, it's kind of you to say, but to be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure it's accurate, because I simply want something that is greater than me. I want what God has for not only my life, but for our country's life. And so is that unknown? It is, but I honestly wouldn't have it any other way.
Wow, so good. Okay, what about you as far as the news headlines? I know you keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on. What is one of the standouts to you right now?
Well, I actually still think the most important story happening is the war in Israel. And I know we've talked about this a lot, Susie, but I really think it's super important that we not have fatigue over this story, because as I've continued to write about this in The Equipped, one of the things that we've sort of been predicting, and I'm hesitant to make predictions, but is just that fatigue would overcome this story and Israel would start being pressured to abandon a pursuit of justice. And I would just tell you that's happening right now. There's a story this week in the newsletter about the Houthis, who are a rebel group that is backed by Iran. They're based out of Yemen. They're attacking shipping vessels in the Red Sea. So, you know, this is a story that involves Israel and the Red Sea, and it should certainly capture our attention. But the condemnation of the world isn't really that loud about it. Instead, you see a lot of pressure on Israel to actually abandon its demands. And the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, really said, look, we really have only had two demands from the start. It's number one, we want all of our hostages back. And number two, we want those that were responsible for October 7th, we want them to be neutralized or removed. Susie, I think if any other country of the world, probably even the United States, were making those two demands after having been attacked, they would be accepted by the rest of the world. Exactly. But instead, they're being challenged. And so I'll leave it there for now. There's more in the newsletter, but I think that's the most important story out there, because as the weeks go along, the fatigue is going to increase and the pressure is going to grow not on the terrorist group Hamas, the pressure is going to grow on those who are responding, namely the nation state of Israel.
You know, it's also just so terrifying and sobering and sad is how anti-Semitism is being normalized. It's shocking to me that that's happening when the Holocaust really wasn't that long ago. I heard a preacher, and I just was scrolling through some social media clips. I heard a preacher say, any anti-Semitism is anti-Christ. I mean, it goes to the heart of who God is. And I want to say this carefully as well, that there are Palestinians who hate what Hamas have done, and there are other Palestinians who are cheering Hamas on. And that's why you can't paint people with broad brushstrokes. There's also Israeli people who are making horrible choices. But this is the thing. In 2 Peter, it says, you see, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from the trials, even while keeping the wicked under punishment until the day of the final judgment. But as I was thinking a little bit about that, then I was thinking, you know, God knows exactly what's in the heart of each man. I mean, think about this. Ruth was a Moabite. The Moabites were enemies of the Jews. Paul was a terrorist until he became one of the greatest evangelists of the world. There was a Roman soldier. Most Roman soldiers oppressed the Jewish people, but there was one in the Gospels that was known for his kindness and even giving of his resources to help build the temple, to the point that the Jewish people appealed to Jesus on his behalf. And his faith was so great, he told Jesus, you don't even have to come to my house. I'm not worthy. I get authority. I understand authority. And Jesus marveled at that man's faith. And I just say that because, yes, we align with Israel. We have to. We have to. That's God has called us. He blesses those who bless Israel. These are God's chosen people. Yet at the same time, don't hear us say that there aren't innocent Palestinian people who are suffering under a brutal regime. And I would just love your thoughts about that.
Yeah, there certainly are. Look, when evil has its way, innocents suffer. And that is happening absolutely in Gaza right now. It's certainly happening in Israel as well. And, you know, one of the things that I've repeatedly written is that we mourn the loss of every life that is created in the image of God. We find that in Genesis 1. But Susie, I think this is, I mean, there are a lot of stories like this, but this is probably the prime example in the news right now where there are challenging concepts and mandates in Scripture that have to be held in tension, right? I mean, we have a mandate to seek and pursue peace. We find it all throughout the Scripture. And so we want lasting an abiding peace in Israel and in the Middle East, but we're also mandated to seek and pursue justice and to defend the oppressor. And there's no doubt that Hamas is an oppressor here. And there's no doubt that justice means getting hostages back and holding those who are responsible to account. And so that's a difficult, those are two difficult concepts to hold together. But Susie, I actually think seeking justice and defending the oppressed, I actually think you have to accomplish those if you're going to have a lasting peace. And so we've got to deal with both of those things.
Wow, so good. All right, when we come back, I got to ask you, just because it's what everybody's talking about the Colorado Supreme Court's recent decision regarding former President Trump. And friends, I'm going to have you chime into this if you don't mind. What are your thoughts on that, on the Supreme Court in Colorado removing former President Trump from the ballot? What are your thoughts on that? Do you want to give me your thoughts? 877, just text 877-933-2484. More with Ann Bennett in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to our good friend Than Bennett. We have him on every once a month, I should say, to just talk about the top news items and really to wrestle for a faith perspective. So this isn't meant to be divisive or debating in any way. And if you've listened often enough, you know that's just absolutely not our heart. But we also don't want to ignore what's going on in the world. We want to discern the times. We want to be able to pray the news. And so aware that we've got people listening from both sides of the aisle, and I pray that you hear our constant effort to navigate this with wisdom and humility. So the talking point that we want to address now is the Supreme Court's decision in Colorado to remove Donald Trump from the ballot. Now, I'm going to read a few of these texts, then I'll have you speak to it, Than. This listener says, isn't taking Donald Trump out of the Colorado election against the Constitution? And this one says, I feel that decision against Trump should be thrown out until he has been tried and found guilty in a court of law. I don't see how they could do that. This one says, my bias is that I'm not a fan of Trump. I think what he brings out in people is dangerous and scary, but I don't understand, since he hasn't been found legally guilty of anything, how can they exclude him from the ballot? The acts of several Colorado judges is taking away the people's right to choose, praying for the Supreme Court to act soon so other states don't follow. Wow, interesting. What do you say?
Yeah, those are actually very smart and well thought out texts, Susie. A lot of them touch on the questions that I think are going to have to be answered by the Supreme Court. Let me just work through this a little bit, and I'm gonna say right up front, I'm actually going to decline to offer you an opinion on how the court should rule, and I'm gonna do it for this reason. I'm going to write about this in The Equipped, Susie, but I haven't yet read through the filings in this case. And I really think that Proverbs 18:17 mandates that I do that before I land on a conclusion. That said, I actually think this issue is a perfect example of how we need to sort of lift ourselves out of the narrative that we're going to hear and actually evaluate the law for ourselves. You know, there's going to be probably 90% of Donald Trump supporters that say this is a bad ruling, and the majority of his opponents are going to say it's a good one. But the question that this case is going to center on is actually a couple of questions that we are going to be very able to access. It's going to center around the 14th Amendment, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, and the text of it is very, very simple. I would actually encourage people to read it. And so I think that we should do that evaluation for ourselves. But let me kind of work through it. The Constitution is very clear about who is eligible to run for president, and Donald Trump meets all of those baseline requirements. And so there should be a very, very strong bias toward leaving him on any ballot. There should be a very high threshold for removing him or any candidate from the ballot. The reason this has become a question is because Section 3 of the 14th Amendment says that if you are an official who has previously taken an oath to support the Constitution of the United States, which Donald Trump has done, and then you engage in insurrection, you are disqualified from office. And so, again, I know even saying that is going to trigger all sorts of angst among listeners of both sides, but I want to drill down on this. I'm not even asserting an opinion. That's the legal question that has to be answered. Was January 6th an insurrection, and who has the authority to determine that. Now, I think you will find a lot of legal commentary that will say the Supreme Court will find, like one of your listeners texted, that he hasn't been convicted of anything, and so they would overturn the court's ruling. I think that's probably a pretty likely outcome, actually, although, again, I haven't read the filings. But the second layer I want to say here is, at the end of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, it actually says this. It says, but Congress may, by a vote of two-thirds of each house, remove that disability. And so there's this line of thinking that it's actually not the courts at all that can make this determination, that that authority resides in the House. And so in the House and the Senate. And so, again, I'm not going to issue an opinion on that, but I really want to challenge people to grapple with this. The question of law is whether or not the former president engaged in insurrection. And then number two, who does the Constitution give the authority to make these decisions? I don't want to be offensive here, but it's intellectually lazy to just say that this is an attack that comes out of the ether. There is real substance in the law on these questions, and those are the questions that the process is going to have to work its way out. And again, 14th Amendment, Section 3, I encourage everybody to read it for themselves. You still may land in different places, but I think you're going to be much more deeply informed than you are if you haven't read that text.
Wow. I also heard that the GOP is talking about pulling out of Colorado and switching its presidential contest to a caucus. Explain that process, what that means, and how that changes things.
Yeah, so the parties are able to pick their own nominees by really any process that they want, and the state parties of both parties, Democrats and Republicans, have different processes in different states. And so, you know, the first one that's coming up is the Iowa caucus. Probably everybody knows about that. You don't actually vote. You show up and you have a process by which you actually stand in different portions of the room based on what candidate you support. And then there's a process by which candidates get eliminated and you move to different corners. It's a different way of selecting the nominee that your state has supported. And so if the Republican Party in the state of Colorado wanted to change the process by which they picked their nominee, they could certainly do that. Now, there would still be a case of what would happen in the general election. The Republican Party doesn't have control over what the general election ballot does. The state of Colorado would have that. So there are a number of layers to this, but some of those questions are a little bit down the road. I think the one that you're going to hear the first is whether or not the Supreme Court is going to take up this case. And if they don't, what happens in the state of Colorado for the GOP primary?
If they don't, what will happen? I mean, do you have thoughts about, I mean, like one of the text listeners said, if they don't deal with this, other states are going to follow suit. And I'd heard on the news today that already some states are preparing for that.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see him come off the ballot in very many states. I'm not going to predict what the Supreme Court will do, but there was a clause in there that if the Supreme Court hasn't acted, this would by a certain date. I think it was January 4th, maybe, that this would be stayed. So I think there's a very good chance he is on the primary ballot in Colorado. But either way, it is not dispositive about whether or not he's on the general election ballot. And I would tell you this, I do believe that whoever the nominee is for both parties, and at this point, it looks like it'll be Joe Biden and Donald Trump, I do believe that both of those nominees will be on the ballot in all 50 states.
So do you feel like with this election, really hard to believe, but really kind of around the corner, this presidential election, do you think the Democrats have someone in the wings in case things shift suddenly with President Biden? And how do you see the GOP race? I know you kind of predicted Trump being on the ticket, but how do you see the order of things with the others who are still on the ballot? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I mean, so on the Republican side, Donald Trump has a very big lead for this stage of the process. Now, historically, things can change very quickly in a primary process, especially. But I would say if things go as you would expect in the first few states, and Donald Trump continues to lead by the margin he's leading by pretty much every major poll out there, I would think that you would see probably consolidation on the Republican side pretty quickly. On the Democrat side, you know, as of now, they're pretty much unified in saying that there's not going to be a significant challenger to Joe Biden. There are a couple other names that have filed. You also have Robert Kennedy is running as an independent. There, I don't want to go too far down this track, Susie, but the Democrat process is a little different in that if Joe Biden were to withdraw much later in the process, they would still be able to land on a nominee because so much of their process is actually decided by what are called superdelegates, officials inside the Democrat Party. So it's not, and I don't even say this pejoratively, it's not nearly as democratic of a process as the Republican primary is. And so, you know, just by nature of their structure, he could withdraw much later than Donald Trump could and still have time for a nominee to be picked.
And do you have any predictions about who that might be?
I think Gavin Newsom is probably the name that is the most likely if Joe Biden were to step down or to not run. I still think, though, at this point, we should be anticipating a Joe Biden versus Donald Trump general election. Here's where I think the most important thing is, though, Susie. No matter who these nominees are going to be, this is going to be so contentious. It's going to be so divisive.
That's why we need to be praying.
It's why we need to be praying. And it does matter, by the way. However, what matters more is the witness of Jesus Christ that we carry through this process. We won't be able to control all those other dynamics, but we can control how we respond to it.
Yeah, very good. As we go to break here, just got about 20 seconds to answer this. David writes in, if they do take him off the ballot, can he still be written in and elect as an elected by right to vote?
For the primary?
Yeah.
Sure. You would have write-in candidates as well, yes.
Yeah. All right. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we want to pray for you and a few other things we'll talk about. But if you've got a prayer request, go on and send it in now. You can text 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. If you listen to me often enough, you know I believe in the power of prayer. The Bible says the prayer of the righteous accomplishes great and powerful things. I am passionate about prayer, and we all need it, and we would love to pray for you. The Faith Radio team, we're serious about prayer, and we pray for specific listener requests every single week. So if you have a request, if you're walking through a difficult time, you can share your prayer request with us anonymously and securely on our website at myfaithradio.com. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. So glad to have you along today talking to our good friend Than Bennett. We get him on every month to talk about some of the news headlines, just seeking God together on just what God is doing in our day and how we can really discern what a kingdom response would be. And I put together a Faith Radio Election Daily Prayer Guide, and Deanna was wise enough to say, remind us about that prayer thing you developed for the coming year around the politics and the election. And I'm going to ask our amazing producer, Angela, to put a link to the PDF, but I've got a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and weekend prayer guide. It's very basic, but I just want to walk you through it just a little bit because what Than and I have been talking about for months, and we're going to keep talking about all the way through the election, is that we would be kingdom people, that we would not be people who react to the news and to people and vitriol, but we are people who respond to the Holy Spirit and do what He says. So Monday's prayer is for personal revival. Tuesday's prayer is for national revival. Wednesday's prayer is for safe and fair elections. Thursday's prayer is for leaders and the people they serve. Friday's prayer is for those who will be elected to office. And the weekend prayer is that God will make His ways known upon the earth. And if you're interested, we will put that in the show notes as well. But will you be praying with us that we could really see God's kingdom come and His will be done? So we've got an anonymous listener who's texted in saying, please pray for me for healing. Doctors say that what she has is not curable. And she's had doctors who've spoken a lot of fear over her. And she's got some heartbreak in her family as well. And I'll just call her Jay. I'm wondering if, Than, if you would pray for Jay.
I'm deeply honored to. Heavenly Father, we are so privileged and so grateful for the opportunity to come before you to enter your throne room. And God, we come to you today on behalf of Jay. Father, I don't know a whole lot about this diagnosis, but I do know that you know. I know that you created Jay. I know that you know every part of her being. I know that you have called her by name. I know that she is yours. God, I pray your healing touch over her today. I pray that you would restore her body. We claim that by your stripes, she would be healed. But God, I also want to speak to the heartbreak, which I don't know the details, but you do. God, I pray that you would wrap Jay in your loving arms, that she would know that she is yours. And Father, just that your presence would pour over her, that your peace would abide in her, and God, that she would have a full confidence that her future, both here on earth and in eternity with you, it is secure. It cannot be shaken by a diagnosis. It cannot be shaken by heartbreak. Her future is held by you. And so I just ask that you would hold her in your arms today, comfort her, and Father, speak to her and minister to her this day.
Father, too, I pray for these upcoming holidays for each and every person listening, God, that you would be so present, Lord, and that we would be present with you as kingdom people. We would arrive and show up in these gatherings with a presence of mind to be present with you, that we could see and sense what you're up to, who you want us to talk to, what you want us to say. Would you guard and guide us as the apple of your eye, Lord God? I pray that you would bring prodigals home. God, that you'd tear down walls of hostility and division. And Father, we beg you forgiveness for the ways that we've allowed walls to be built up in the body of Christ, in families, over temporary issues. God, forgive us. Boy, the pandemic and the social unrest of these last few years have wreaked havoc, but there's nothing that you can't deal with or can't heal. And so we call on you now to heal. Heal families, heal marriages, heal friendships, Lord God. Reconcile people. May the lost be found and the sick be healed and the weak be strengthened, O God. May weary servants be revived in your presence in this season and help us to live worthy of your name, God. You are coming again. Your return is nearer than it's ever been before. So we want to be a people who live ready. We love you so much and we say thank you in Jesus' name. We've got another one here, anonymous, for my dad whose prostate cancer is in his bones, and he's now fighting an infection in his hand. So it sounds almost like a cascade of things are happening with him with the spread of cancer. Would you pray for that, dear one?
Heavenly Father, it can be a difficult thing. It is a difficult thing to deal with a reality of temporary bodies. And Father, I just lift this dear one up to you who's also dealing with a diagnosis. God, you are the great physician. You are creator. You are our healer. And I would just be so bold as to pray your healing touch yet again over this dear one. God, hold them close. I also pray for the family involved here. God, this is something that I can relate to personally. It's challenging when someone around you is suffering. I pray your comfort over this family, especially over this Christmas season. I pray that you would draw them closer together. I pray that you would draw each one closer to your side. God, let them feel your presence. Let them feel your touch and help them to know that you have not abandoned them. Again, you have called them yours. They are yours. May they rest in you this Christmas season.
I just have a heart that nobody's written in today about this, but I've seen text in the past about it, and just have a heart to pray for those who have children who battle illnesses. That's so hard. It's just so hard when little ones or maybe your young adults or your teens are battling illnesses and issues that they're not getting victory over yet. And I just pray, God, for each and every one of those precious ones, that you would heal them, God. Heal them of skin issues. Heal them and deliver them from anxiety and depression and insomnia, Lord God, and self-hatred and self-contempt, God, and negative self-awareness, Lord. Just getting the sense for those who've, I mean, I'm just going to say it, like a young person battling some major colon issues. Lord, I just pray you bless and heal them, Lord. And Father, I'm just thinking of those who, these young people who don't have friends, would you give them friends? Would you put them in a tribe, a group of people who love them as they are and love them as they will be as you're transforming them from inside out, Lord God? We just pray for our young people today that they would know they're loved, called, and cared for. We thank you, Jesus. And one more prayer here, as it just came in and represents so many. She says, pray for my daughter and I to be restored. Haven't spoken or seen her in 2 years. That's so heartbreaking. And Dan, I'll just take it because I've got my eye on the clock. But Lord, for all of these broken family relationships, oh God in heaven, oh God, we beg you. Oh God, go after these young people and bring them back to their families, Lord. Bring reconciliation and humility and restore and redeem what that enemy has stolen. He's getting away with too much, God. Redeem these families now. Oh Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, Dan, thank you so much. Chris, I see your text, and I'm going to pray. I have to wrap the show, but I'm going to pray as soon as the show is over. I'm going to pray for your daughter-in-law. But Dan, thank you for the time. We love and appreciate you.
Susie, we love you so much. Our identity is found in him. We don't have to wander or wonder.
Or wonder. Hallelujah. Have a Merry Christmas. Please give Brooke a hug for us. And friends, thank you for tuning in today. I pray you find some encouragement here as we wrestle for a right perspective and we keep a redemptive mindset as we navigate the storm-tossed waters that we're living in right now. We can do that and not be moved. Scripture promises that. We'll meet you back here next time. We love and appreciate you. Have a blessed day. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.